Hey friends, before we dive in, I just want to let you know that on today's episode, I'll be chatting with Dr. Deborah Gilboa, aka Dr. G, who's a family physician, a Kleenex brandchild wellness expert, and a mother of four boys. Today, she has some amazingly great tips on how to help us teachers alleviate and manage stress during this back-to-school season, which I know I desperately need, as well as ways that we can give back to the teachers in our community. Please grab a piece of paper, get a pencil ready, because even as I was interviewing her, I was taking lots of notes. And I promise you, she has some amazing advice for us today. So let's start. Hey guys, thank you so much for joining me. I'm really excited because I have my very first interview. How exciting is this? With Dr. Deborah Gilboa, otherwise known as Dr. G, who works with families, educators, executives, and businesses to identify the mindset and strategies to turn stress, wait for it, into an advantage. So I'm really excited to hear about this. She's a leading personality. She's been on many television shows. She's been in countless newspapers and other digital outlets. And she's also the mom of four school-age boys. So you know all about stress. Is that right? Just based on that.
I would never say in front of them that my kids were the biggest reason.
Well, I'm excited that you're here because so many of us are either already back to school like me or we're heading back to school. And just even the thought of going into school has raised my level of anxiety. I always have back to school nightmares as a teacher. All teachers do, by the way. I don't know if you're aware of this, but usually it starts at the end of July. It's the same thing for me, a big gym full of kids going bananas and I can't control them. I actually last night had my very first virtual where I was trying to lead a virtual class back to school nightmare. So this is the world that
My mom was a teacher for 32 years, and she told me that all teachers had back to school nerves just as bad or worse than kids. And I remember thinking, then why do you do it?
For all the dollar bills, Dr.
Oh, obviously it's the big bucks. Yeah, 100%.
So as a teacher heading into the new school year, you know, obviously I have a lot on my plate. I'm trying to be virtual, teach in person. And it's really doubled my workload as it will for so many other teachers. And if I don't plan carefully, I'm going to get really overwhelmed, like I mentioned, and stressed. So tell me, how can stress affect me mentally? Like, what am I in for?
Well, so let's contextualize this because you're an expert in you, Cassie, and every one of your listeners is an expert in them. So I'm a family doctor, and if you were coming to see me for the first time, I might say to you, how do you know when you're getting stressed? What are the yellow flags that your body or your mind is trying to tell you? Whoa, 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 this is a lot already. And so for a lot of people, those things are what we call somatic symptoms, that your body takes that stress and turns it into physical symptoms, stomach pain or headaches or more hunger than you're used to or fatigue. But also, if stress piles up without figuring out how to do stress better and relieve it where you can get some really cellular reactions. Medical students are often the subject of a lot of medical studies because they'll work for free pizza and or get blood drawn for free pizza. I was actually in a study myself in medical school where they drew our blood at the beginning of the school year and then right before big tests and right after big tests. Anyway, all the research about stress shows that it can actually really knock your immune system, meaning it can knock your ability to fight off illness. And this year, that's a bigger deal. Maybe it's been even in other years. It's always a big deal, but it really matters. So you're totally right that you have to watch yourself. You have to check in and take your own temperature. Just like when you sit down in front of a classroom, whether you're in the room with kids or you're on a screen, the first thing you're doing is scanning. Partially, where are my hotspots going to be today, right? Who looks like they've got a little pepper in their behavior today. But also, does everybody look okay? Because teachers are so keyed into the social and emotional well-being of their students that even more than who do I think is still And this is maybe teachers of older students, but like copying down their homework under their desk or looking at their neighbors, more than the work that you want them to bring, you're looking at the kids they bring to you, right? Like themselves, who they're bringing that day. And I want to really beg your audience to look at themselves in that same compassionate, concerned way, to take your own temperature physically, but also emotionally, and see how you're doing.
I love that. I wrote down what you said. You're an expert on you. I think that that's amazing. And so often we forget about that. I'm sitting here, I'm an interrupter. So I'm sitting here just like holding my tongue and nodding my head at everything you say. Amen. I love it.
You know, I have four kids. I get interrupted all the time. That's what I consider a conversation. So no problem.
Good to know, but don't encourage this behavior. Trust me. So tell me, what are some of the essential things that teachers and parents who might also be teachers should like have on, let's say, their back to school supply list?
Oh, I just did back to school supplies today with my kids. Actually, we got lists, and first I make them shop our home because nobody needs to go start from scratch at the store, right? But I know, because I lived with it with my mom, that the back to school supplies in a home with school age kids is nothing compared to the back to school madness that happens in a teacher's home.
Oh, yes.
There's nothing from the Tupperware to the office supplies to curtains and sheets that might not get pressed into service as something for your classroom or something for your virtual classroom this year. And one of the things that I really want to point out is that, so this is going to sound silly to say to teachers. It makes more sense when I say it to corporate leaders, but really listen to me. You're always teaching. You're not just teaching your subject that you're a subject matter expert in. You're not even just teaching your students. You're teaching every educator that watches you. You're teaching every parent that meets with you. You're teaching your kids about being a cool grown-up. You know, Cassie, you have K to fourth, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So you're kind of always the coolest person in the room. But even in middle school classrooms and high school classrooms, the teacher has a lot of social power. And they may not always feel it. The kids may not always be willing to acknowledge it, but it's there. And so you're modeling behaviors. So this year, when a lot of teachers are understandably concerned about having to monitor behaviors that they haven't had to monitor so much before, what kids do when they sneeze. Now, elementary school teachers are all about making sure that kids pick up the Kleenex and blow their nose and throw it away and wash their hands. But now middle school teachers are thinking about that. And high school teachers are looking at the hygiene. I live this year with two middle schoolers and a high schooler. And I can say the hygiene issue never really stops being a conversation. So gender notwithstanding. Now teachers are so needing to be vigilant. I'm sorry that it's true. And I know that it's an added worry, but it is true. So I really want to encourage teachers to pack and use the same things that you want to see your students bringing and using. And so whereas before you might have just counted the big pile of Kleenex tissue boxes that land on the front on the first day of school to make sure there's the right number, now I want to encourage you to, you know, kids write their name on the bottom of the box usually. That's mm-hmm. what we're told to yeah. do as parents, at least. So check it against your roll list and make sure that each kid has some. To model bringing your own Kleenex tissue. And I totally got to say that today when my kids were making a shopping list of what we didn't have quite enough of because three kids, I was like, Kleenex, UltraSoft tissues, because you're going to blow your nose more this year. Because this year there's no like surreptitiously wiping it on your arm and just not worrying about it. There's no, and I want as a doctor kids to be covering not just their sneezes, but their coughs and their throat clearing and really everything, like every expulsion of any kind.
Same, sister, same. Yeah. Well, one thing in high demand for teachers this year is support from our communities. And by support, I also mean just love from our communities and just acknowledgement that we're really, really trying the best that we can. And it's important to ensure that teachers have all the resources they need
to lead student learning for both online and in-person settings, which is why Kleenex, which you brought up, Kleenex brand has partnered with Donors Choose. So can you tell me more about that partnership?
Yeah, this I'm really impressed by this partnership. We all know, we all want teachers to feel supported, but this year it is so important to ensure that teachers have the resources they need to help support student learning, whether it's in person or remote, but also to promote their physical and emotional well-being. And basic supplies and all kinds of materials, teachers often need help acquiring those supplies. So Kleenex brand is making a donation of up to $1.2 million in 2020 to support requests from teachers. Teachers get to say what they need on the education nonprofit crowdfunding site Donors Choose. So this is a way you can visit donorschoose.com/Kleenex to find out how you can help support teachers this year and to see the good that Kleenex brand is doing with this. It's often, as a parent myself, I feel like, well, you know, I could send in a little extra for my kid's class, or I could try and get a gift card to my kid's teacher. But this is a really good way for me not to have to guess what they need and for teachers to be able to say, this is what I need. This is what's going to help my students and me the most this year.
Yeah, it's pretty fabulous because I remember in the spring, Kleenex did this as well. And several art teachers reached out to me on social media saying that they had been a recipient of some of these supplies and some of the things they needed, which that's amazing because like you stated earlier, we teachers have no issues digging deep into our pockets, which are very shallow, to purchase whatever we feel like we need or our students need, you know, at the drop of the hat. You don't even think about it. You throw it in your car and that's just our life because we're the caregivers of these humans, and that's what we do. So it's nice to have that support so that we don't have to keep digging in our own pockets.
And this year, when I know that teachers are feeling more stressed than they ever have before, it's easy when you're feeling stressed to feel unsupported, to feel that people don't have the empathy that you need or the resources that you need, that a lot's being asked of you and not much given to you. And like, kudos to Kleenex brand for seeing that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the feeling of, I often call it lonely island syndrome when you're a teacher.
And that's, if that's true in a school, when you're going in and out of the teacher's lounge and seeing the faces and getting the hugs in a year where the teacher's lounge and hugs are off limits, mm-hmm. I'm worried about teachers' mental health.
Yeah. Same. Yes. Because I've really been alone this past week. In fact, my husband's like, you haven't left your room, have you? And I'm like, just to go to the bathroom, because, you know, you hate to venture out and you know the rest. So, so sometimes I get so caught up in all that I feel like I need to do, especially this time of year, my to-do list is a mile long trying to prepare for my classes, that I don't, like you mentioned, often stop and just kind of check in with myself. And because I tell myself I'm too busy, I have too much to do. Mm-hmm. So what are some physical signs? You mentioned the mental signs and how that can affect me, but what are some of the physical signs of stress that I should be on the look for myself, or look out for myself and my students?
Okay. So first let's talk about the things that you can notice more easily in yourself, like fatigue and hunger at times you didn't expect it. Aches and pains, for sure. Noticing that when you wake up in the morning, you don't feel rested. But another thing that you can notice, if your system is on sort of hyper alert, then things that wouldn't hurt physically, things that wouldn't hurt that much, actually hurt more. So you might stub your toe and you feel like a cartoon character, like it's throbbing.
Wow.
Or as an art teacher, I would imagine you on rare occasion cut yourself by accident.
Maybe a time or 20.
Right, today. So you might be like, wow, that hurts so much more than I would have expected it to. And that's something to notice. That means that your system is really kind of keyed up. And it's because of the cortisol and the stress hormones that your body has going on. Another thing that you might notice is that someone makes a comment to you that would ordinarily not be a big deal, and you have that conflict reaction, or you hear a song or see a commercial and you find yourself tearing up and you're like, whoa, that that was just a, you know, a box commercial. That doesn't feel like it should have created that sort of reaction in me. So noticing when your emotional reactions or your physical reactions are heightened can be a really good way to know, hey, I might not be as calm as I'm usually. And the same thing is true with your students. If you say something, and you do this anyway, you know, you're already an expert in youth development. Everyone who's listening is an expert in the kids that they teach and in their development. But let me remind you of some things you know. If you saw in a student that a correction or a supportive comment that was meant to guide them a little differently causes them to stop, swallow back tears, or have an angry reaction, if you see one of their peers make an outreach of fun or friendship or teasing that you think would have hit that student as funny or no big deal, and they have a bad reaction. If, because many people are meeting students for the first time, and meeting them for the first time virtually can feel to you like an impossibility. How am I going to get to know this group of kids the way I get to know kids when I'm really in the room with them? Or I knew them in the room for this many weeks and then we went to virtual for a while, or that kiddo had to quarantine because their parents traveled or someone was ill. So we're going to do this constant dipping in and dipping out this year overall. Certain places won't have that, but I want you to think about the when I'm virtual with my student or students, not if, because that will help you to develop what you need. You might, I've seen a resource, I speak in schools a lot, and I saw a great resource I really liked in a middle school classroom, where every day, every child walked in and took a post-it with their name on it and put it on the mood board, just to give their teacher a heads up, like just to check in. And they could put it on don't feel like talking about it or fine, but they could also put it on frustrated. I mean, there was a whole range, and it wasn't a spectrum of good to bad. There was no value judgment assigned to the different emotions, which I thought was pretty cool, but they could. And I actually saw an elementary school teacher that had something similar, name magnets, and he just put it up on a color. What color were you that day? So there might be a way to use a polling app or the chat box in your virtual room and ask students to give you one word about their mood that day. One of the things I like about the virtual classroom that's a real opportunity is you can set the chat that they're only messaging you and none of their peers can see their answer. And that's an advantage that we have virtually that we really don't have as much in the classroom. So they can let you know privately a couple of words about their mood or what color they feel that day. And no, and you can let them know, this is just between us. Nobody else can see it.
And I think checking in like that is going to be so vital this year. And I'm so glad that you addressed how to do that virtually and in person. You know, that way we can have those tools in our teacher tool belt that we know how to approach our kids, meet them where they are, so to speak. But I just feel like even these first 2 days with my students, I know I've been a roller coaster of emotions. And it's hard for me to even gauge their emotions because I can't see half of their face, you know? So I think that being able to allow them to express their emotions with a mood board. And like you're saying, I love that it wasn't like, you know, sunny side to sad side, but it was all of this range. None of them are any better or worse than the other. This is just your feelings right now, and it's totally fine. And then being able to speak that or identify that is going to be amazing. And that will help them further down the road just grow into adults who can express their emotions.
And it occurs to me, since you're an art teacher, that maybe one day there's an activity at the beginning that you just take 5 minutes and you draw your face and stick it to the front of your mask.
Love it.
If you could see my face, this is, and maybe it's blah, you know, I mean, I can really draw stick figures, so I'm not sure you'll be able to get from it, but you have practice with that. The other thing that I think is really valuable, and this is a medical context, but I'm going to try and translate it, is when I walk in to see a patient, I get vital signs. My nurse has seen them already and gotten me a little bit of information, and I always glance at that. Well, it's entirely possible in the youth development world, and this is true at camp and at school and in after-school programs and for parents to do, that you can ask that kiddo to fill out for you a little form, which they're just circling where they're at on a couple of different things. And then if you're in the classroom, you can just, you know, ask them to leave it on their desk and you glance at it, or, you know, put it face down, put it in this envelope, and it gives you a quick sense. And I would encourage you, if you do anything like that about mood or a how are you check in or anything, that you answer also. Even your kindergartners, Cassie, what do your students call you?
Mrs. Stevens.
Great. So even your kindergartners would like to know how Mrs. Stevens is today. And it can be really valuable information if you say, honestly, kids, a little irritable today. Even your kindergartners will know, okay, it might not be my day to really, you know, make a ruckus.
Maybe I'll just tell them that every day. We'll see how that goes.
I feel like that would wear off.
I love it. I also kind of like the, I'm going to mess this word up, anonymity of it, especially
yes,
if they kind totally of like weird. Flip it over, you know, because it's a very, sometimes it can feel private, but like you're saying, if I, as a teacher, share it as well, because oftentimes we'll ask our students to do things, we kind of put them out there, force them to put themselves out there, but then we don't do that ourselves. So if we also say I'm stressed or whatever, I think that normalizes it a bit, which is, that's great. I love it. I'm taking notes. So I love it. Thank you.
Awesome.
So what are some things that I can do to kind of like alleviate stress immediately? Because sometimes for me, my stress will just hit me like a wave. You know, my hands will start sweating and my mind will start racing and I can't seem to bring myself down. So do you have some suggestions on how I can do that?
Yes. The first thing that helps is breathing. Oxygen helps to clear almost all of the stress chemicals that our body releases. So slow, deep breaths don't just serve to distract you from what you might want to say in that moment that's ill-considered or whatever it is. They actually slow deep breaths, slow your heart rate, lower your blood pressure, and clear out the chemicals that make you feel like you are in danger.
Wow. I mean, I knew deep breathing and I talk about it with my students was important, but I didn't know that it had all of those other kind of effects, or it could have those effects.
It really does. And so it doesn't make whatever you're mad about disappear. It doesn't suddenly turn you, at least it doesn't turn me, into a totally measured, logical, reasonable human. But when those chemicals that tell us we're in danger pop up, pretty much everything in our brain except our reflexes shut down. And so telling someone, I mean, Cassie, what's the most annoying thing someone can do when you say you're upset about something?
Oh gosh, I don't know. Maybe ask me why is whatever it is bothering me? Why is that bothering you? When they kind of minimize what it is.
Right, when they minimize it, or when they tell you how you should feel instead of how you feel, just relax. There's nothing to be mad about. You should be happy because of this other thing, right?
Yes.
So telling people how they should feel or how not to feel. Basically, if you say to me, you know, if a student says to you, I'm scared to speak in front of the class, or they show you, because you're all teachers, you know, behavior is communication. So if they communicate, I'm scared to get up in front of the class. If you say, there's nothing to be scared of, honey. Basically what you're saying is, oh, your feelings are dumb. You should have different feelings. And that way does not lie empathy, right? That doesn't build resilience in kids. All it does is say, yeah, I'm not somebody who can hear those feelings. Don't tell me that again.
Wow. That's amazing. That's so true.
So if we say, hey, and empathy doesn't mean endorsing the other person's feelings. Oh, you're right to be scared. It's going to be awful. Or, or I would be scared too, when obviously you sit up in front of a classroom every day and I'm thinking you look like you enjoy it. So saying something that isn't true doesn't help. And every adult who works with kids know that they are better than any polygraph test. When you're lying, they can sense it. So I'm not saying we never pull one over on kids, but in general, they get this like squirrely feeling like something's not quite right. So you can show empathy without lying. You can just reflect. I see that this is making you uncomfortable. I hear that you're frustrated. I think I understand that you're embarrassed. Do I have that right? Right. So you can ask, like, I think I see this, but am I right? And when we show empathy, what we're saying is there's space here for your feelings. There's a lot of rules about your behavior, but there are no rules about your feelings. And that message reduces kids' stress. The message that, yes, there are rules about their behavior. They know that, and they want structure, and they want boundaries, even when they don't. But there are no rules about your feelings. There's no wrong feelings here. That gives them the strength and the confidence to be able to experience those feelings and figure out how to behave well and self-regulate while they're going through
it. I love it. I mean, I'm sitting here writing down, there's space for your feelings. I love that. And I think that's so important, like you said, for kids to know. I have one last question, and then we are going to end this podcast episode, but I don't want anybody to be too upset because we're going to continue it in a second podcast episode. So my last question is this. As for learning how to manage my stress in the long term, because I've been teaching art to elementary age kids now for 22 years, which I know because I look like I'm 12, or look like I started when I was 12 because we have different rules here in Tennessee. I can easily say that the stress of teaching, it never seems to go away. So what practices can I put into place since I'm constantly, I feel like sometimes just have this bag like Santa Claus of stress that I've got thrown over my shoulder? What can I do about that?
I want to answer you. I want to ask you a question first. Cassie, yes. Your first year of teaching, when you experienced stress, if last year, this year is different for everyone, so I don't want to use this year as an example. If right. last year, all you had to do was experience the stressors of your first year, would it have felt as bad as it did your first year?
No.
Not at all, right? Stressors, you totally knew how to handle. That's because we're constantly becoming more fit and better able to handle stress. Those stressors that you experienced as a first-year teacher that you mastered, they made you far better able to handle this year's stressors because you're more mentally healthy and fit. So stress itself, it's a tool. And if there's too much of it, or we don't train up for it, or we don't have the right supports and help, it can be a tool that beats us into the ground, no question. But if we think about it, just like we think about exercise, that we're going to train up and we're going to get some sleep and drink some water and get some coaching, but we're going to get a little stronger every time, then you can see that that Santa Claus bag of stress that you're carrying is maybe not quite as heavy as it used to be. And that when you notice all of a sudden it's heavier, that's one of your warning signs that you're dealing with more and you'd better increase the things that help you more to do stress better.
Got it. All right. I feel more equipped, but I definitely want to continue this conversation. So we're going to continue in the second half of a podcast episode, but I want to say thank you so much for joining me here.
And for all the teachers who are listening, thank you for stepping up this year.
Well, we appreciate that. Trust me, our plate is full and overflowing. So we appreciate any kind of things that we could get. All right. I'll talk to you soon.
I hope you guys have enjoyed today's episode as much as I have enjoyed chatting with Dr. G. Please don't forget to visit donorschoose.org/Kleenex to learn how you can join Kleenex in funding the resources for students and teachers this school year. And don't forget to tune in to episode 2 for more from Dr. G.